Assembly Speaker Robin Voss accused the people who organized a recall effort against him of fraud yesterday and said the effort would fail. It's Wednesday, March 20th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, early voting has started in Wisconsin, and Anya Van Wagtendonk will tell us how some activists want voters to use their ballots to protest President Biden's handling of the conflict in Gaza. And Hope Kerwin reports on the demolition of a coal-fired power plant along the Mississippi River. Stay with us.
Community support makes these 10 minutes of Wisconsin news possible. Your gift now at wpr.org/givewitoday makes the news you can use on Wisconsin Today available to you and everyone else. Thank you.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss unleashed a string of insults yesterday to describe the people who organized a recall effort against him. As Sean Johnson reports, Voss also accused them of fraud and said the recall effort would fail.
Voss's remarks came a little more than a week after recall organizers said they turned in enough signatures to force a recall election against him. But an initial review by the state's elections agency found they likely came up short. Speaking at a WisPolitics forum in Madison, he called organizers, quote, whack jobs, accusing them of submitting fake signatures and running their recall under false pretenses.
The people who organize this are so out of touch with reality. And I'm just going to keep saying it over and over again. They are morons. They are stupid. These people do not deserve the respect that anybody gave them in the media.
Recall organizers did not immediately return an email seeking comment. They've attacked Voss for being insufficiently supportive of former President Donald Trump and for standing in the way of impeaching the state's top elections official. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court is weighing whether to lift a court-ordered restriction on an anti-abortion protester. He's accused of harassing a reproductive health nurse at a Western Wisconsin clinic. In 2020, a Trempealeau County judge issued an injunction against pro-life demonstrator Brian Aish. The judge ordered him to stay away from a nurse he'd harassed by saying bad things would happen to her and her family if she didn't quit and repent for her sins. During arguments before the state's high court yesterday, Aish's attorney, Joan Mannix, told justices he never said he would harm the nurse. She said the statements came from a, quote, place of love.
But in a First Amendment traditional public forum, which is like the Wild West of First Amendment speech, I can phrase my message in a very startling, obnoxious, frightening, intimidating way.
Conservative justices leaned towards lifting Aish's ban on free speech grounds. Others discussed sending the case back to the lower courts. Activists gathered in Milwaukee yesterday to encourage voters to support no candidates in the upcoming Democratic primary. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, it's a campaign to protest President Joe Biden's record on Israel.
The group wants voters to mark uninstructed on their ballots instead of supporting a Democratic candidate. They want to send a message to Biden that he can't win key battleground states like Wisconsin without their support. Dr. Roa Kutta says Biden won't get their support without withdrawing military aid to Israel and supporting a ceasefire in Gaza.
So now we take it to the ballot box.
Early voting has already begun for the April 2nd primary. The group hopes to get 20,000 uninstructed ballots by then. That's about the margin that Biden won with in 2020. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Closing arguments are expected today in the criminal trial of a former Milwaukee election official charged with election fraud. Kimberly Zapata is the former deputy director of Milwaukee's Election Commission. She also admitted requesting absentee ballots under fake names and sending them to Republican State Representative Janelle Branchin in 2022. Claire Woodall is the executive director of Milwaukee's Election Commission and Zapata's former boss. She testified yesterday that she believes Zapata was trying to redirect attention away from fake conspiracy theorists.
She was trying to highlight to the conspirators what a real potential security concern would be.
Zapata is charged with 3 counts of election fraud involving absentee ballots and 1 felony count of misconduct in public office. She's facing 5 years in prison and fines of up to $13,000 for her charges. The final pieces of a coal-fired power plant along the Mississippi River were demolished yesterday just south of La Crosse. As Hope Kerwin reports, it marks a new chapter for the regional utility and the end of an era for community members.
Dairyland Power Cooperative's leaders and local officials watched the remnants of the Genoa power plant in near silence as 400 pounds of explosives were detonated. The steel boiler house and 500-foot chimney stack tipped and crumbled in a cloud of dust. Work to demolish the site has been ongoing since the plant was decommissioned in 2021. Genoa's village president, Rick Phillips, says his community is sad to see the plant go, especially because it employed many residents.
It's a landmark. It's going to be missed.
It's the 6th coal plant Dairyland has shut down as part of a transition away from fossil fuels. CEO Brent Ridge says the cooperative plans to continue reducing carbon emissions, but it will need to use its 2 remaining coal plants for the foreseeable future. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about moving into a new house. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust. Conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about leaving home and finding a new one nearby.
As the saying goes, home is where the heart is. But for writer B.J. Hollers, it's a little more complicated than that. We can become deeply connected to our physical homes. So moving and moving on can be a process.
While my family and I have cherished our time in Eau Claire, it's time for us to say goodbye. The boxes are packed, the papers are signed. All that's left is to bid you farewell as we embark upon the next chapter of our journey. A journey, I'm pleased to add, that will take us no further than 1.9 miles from our current home. Yet, sentimentalist that I am, any move, even one that lands us in the same zip code, leaves me awash with emotion. Over the past month, while attempting to box up our belongings, I regularly pumped the packing brakes to indulge in various unplanned detours down memory lane, including a writing worksheet I found crumpled in my 7-year-old daughter's room shortly before our scheduled move. She composed several sentences about the move, including, "My house is along the highway. I've been to my new house." But then, in a stunning twist, her declarative statements veered toward the philosophical. Why does the world move so fast? The moment she got home from school, I accosted her. "Where on earth did you come up with that line?" I asked, handing her the paper. "Duh," she said, rolling her eyes, "only from every adult ever." If there's one thing adults do well, it's lamenting the fast passage of time. Unfortunately, we're less adept at finding ways to slow it. Let me be clear. I never wanted to move. Instead, I'd hoped to root myself as deeply to the land as our backyard river birch tree. But my wife had insisted that the children required bedrooms and bathrooms, and eventually, logic won the day. My begrudging agreement came with conditions. I demanded that our new house be within walking distance of our old house. I wanted to avoid all bidding wars, and I didn't want to sell our former house to just anyone. Such stringent conditions, I figured, would buy me a little more time. Instead, the universe conspired on my wife's behalf, rolling out a tailor-made red carpet that made short work of my conditions. One afternoon, the grandparents of a family friend mentioned that they were hoping to downsize. Their home was just the right size and just the right neighborhood, a mere 5,800 steps away from our current home. Within a month, we'd struck a deal. The only bidding war involved me demanding that I pay a little more to make things closer to fair. With 2 out of 3 conditions met, all that remained was finding the perfect buyers for our own home. This being a seller's market, I had the luxury of vetting all interested parties. following an extensive 37-year process, I found the perfect people. Or rather, they found me. "Wait a minute," I said into the phone. "You mean to tell me that you and Dad would move here?" "Yes," my mother agreed. "There's nothing we want more." After missing one too many of their grandchildren's activities, my parents were anxious to make the 500-mile journey from Indiana to embark upon their own next chapter with us. Now, if this all seems a little too good to be true, it's because it is. I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. Will the basement flood? Will the roof cave in? Whatever the price, we'll pay it. Because we have found not only the perfect house, but the perfect arrangement too. We lose nothing, and we gain grandparents. Was it Heraclitus or my 7-year-old who said, "The only constant in life is change"? Whomever it was, they were right. While change is scary, it's less so when you know it's coming. And since it's always coming, we ought never to be afraid. When one door closes, another opens. All the better when you've got familiar faces waiting within.
BJ Hollers is a writer, author, and assistant professor of creative writing at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org, on Facebook, and on Instagram. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks so much for being here for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. As always, we'll be in that podcast feed tomorrow morning, so just hit subscribe, all you gotta do, and we'll show up automatically. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.